Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians, we begin reading in chapter 5 at verse 22. And we read through chapter 6, verse 9. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Notice the different authority structures that are mentioned as we read through this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And now, in closer connection to the fifth commandment, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. In connection with that reading, we deal with the truth of Scripture concerning the fifth commandment. Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104. I'll read that. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me. and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, do you and do I honor the authorities that God has placed over us? Do you honor elders whom God has placed over you in the church? Do you honor the civil government that God has placed over you? Children, do you honor the parents that God has placed over you? We come to the second table of the law now in our treatment of the Ten Commandments. And it's good to remind ourselves how God introduces Himself at the beginning of the law when He shows us what He has done for us. God has redeemed us out of bondage. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of bondage, out of the house of bondage. And after introducing Himself as the God who has redeemed us, then He gives us the rule of thankfulness. We keep the law not to save ourselves, but we desire to keep the law and we strive to keep it because we are saved and we want to show our thankfulness. That's the emphasis of the passage we read as well, or the emphasis of Ephesians. We didn't read this actually, but the beginning of chapter 5, Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Why ought you and why ought I walk in love to God? Because He has made us His dear children. And we come back to that thankfulness that we owe to God. We want to love Him. That's the first table of the law, our love to God. Second table of the law, we want to love our neighbor for God's sake. Those two tables are not separated, but the second table of the law serves the first table, you could say. We want to love our neighbor as we are commanded in the second table, because in that way we show our love for God too. Love to neighbor flows out of our love for God. And that relationship between the two tables becomes apparent in the fifth commandment. And that's what we're dealing with today. When we honor, children, when you honor your parents' authority and when we honor other authorities over us, we honor God Himself. And now you see the connection between the two tables. When we love our neighbor for God's sake, we are loving God. I read that section this morning in Ephesians because it deals with a number of different authority structures. And the Catechism indicates that the fifth commandment deals with a number of authority structures in society, all authority that God places over us. So when the Catechism explains the fifth commandment, it says, Now, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. The fifth commandment deals with all that authority and would have us honor that authority. That's what I take then as our theme this morning, the command to honor authority. Let's note the meaning of that. Secondly, the danger that authority can be abused. And the Catechism addresses that when it speaks of the fact that we need to bear patiently with the weaknesses of those who have authority over us. So the meaning, the danger, and lastly, the promise that is found in that fifth commandment, that it may be well with thee. When God commands that we honor our parents, that command to honor father and mother is a call to honor all legitimate authority that God has placed over us. We owe that honor to those authorities because God placed them over us. And that's especially evident in the parent-child relationship. Children, who is it that put you in your particular family? God did. God, by His providential rule, caused you to be born in your particular family. Or even if someone is adopted, God in His providence brought that adopted child into that family. God places then parents, those particular parents, in authority over you children who are in that family. But that same principle holds in other authority structures. It's not just parent-child relationships. The same thing applies to other authority structures. That's what the Catechism is talking about. All in authority over me. Why must you and I submit to them? Because God put them there. God gave them their authority. So that submission to those in authority is really submission to God Himself. And then we can understand why it is that the apostle in this passage in Ephesians 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." It brings God into the picture of our submission to parents. And that same principle holds with other authority structures. You find that too in the passage that we read, Ephesians 5, verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." It brings God into the picture because God set up that authority structure. Or Ephesians 6, verse 5. When it speaks of servants and masters, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." All those authority structures that we have in society, children and parents, husbands and wives, masters and servants, elders in the church as well. We don't have it in this passage that we read, but in other portions of Scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, obey them, speaking to the church. Obey them that have the rule over you. Because God placed elders over us. And that applies to civil authority as well. Why must I obey the ordinances of man? Why must I submit to the government? And why must you? Because God, in His providence, has placed government over us. God calls us to honor all legitimate authority in society. Well, what does that mean, to honor these authorities? It includes obedience in the first place, and that's evident from the passage that we read. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The fifth commandment calls children to obey, to do what your parents instruct you to do. But it's more than that. It's possible, and I'm sure I'm guilty myself of this when I was younger, it's possible to obey outwardly and yet not honor our parents. Children, if your father or mother asks you to take out the trash, you might obey them. But as you obey them and take out the trash, you give out a great sigh and you slam the door behind you as you do that. Why do I always have to take out the trash? There is an outward obedience, but that's not honoring to your parents, and that's not honoring to God, who put your parents over you. It's possible to obey and not to honor. So honor, yes, it involves obedience. But especially it involves showing a particular attitude of submission. That's the reason why the Holy Apostle addresses children and says, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents, yes, but then there is that qualification, so long as their commands agree with God's laws. Of course, if your parents tell you to lie to someone, or if your parents told you to steal, then you say, I may not obey that command. Or if the government that God has placed over us, and that government passes a law that says you in your church must marry any homosexual couple that comes to you and wants to be married, then we say we may not obey that command. Or if the government says you may not preach this portion of God's word, you may not say that your religion is the only true religion and that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You may not say that. Then we say to that government, we may not obey that command. Then the rule is we must obey God rather than men. Nebuchadnezzar passed a law. Children, you remember that story? And he commanded everyone, when the music played, they must bow down to his image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we may not obey that law. They refused. So there are times when we might not obey, but we still must honor. We still are called by God not to fight against that authority, but to remain under that authority. And we find that example again in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the king made that command, they didn't seek to start an uprising. They didn't seek to start a rebellion in that empire to overthrow or kill the king. They still honored the king in his authority. Notice their respectful tone. Even though they were firm in their resolve to obey God, they were respectful. Daniel 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They didn't spit in his face. They didn't rebel against him. They submitted themselves even to the punishment that he would mete out. They could not obey, but they still honored that authority over them. That's questioned in our society nowadays. And we are influenced by society more than we recognize. It's all over society to question authority, to have a certain disdain for authority, to have a contempt for those authorities. But God calls us to honor. Honor those in authority over us, whom God has placed over us. That's one side of the coin. In the fifth commandment, God calls us to honor all in authority over us. Show all honor, love, and fidelity. Yes, to parents, but to everyone whom God has placed over us. The other side of the coin is a proper exercise of authority. The Catechism points to that when it says it pleases God to govern us by their hand and refers to the weaknesses and infirmities of those in authority over us. Just as we are not to despise those who have authority over us, it's also true that those who have authority must not despise those who are under their authority. That's striking in Ephesians. It's striking that every time it mentions an authority structure, it says, points to those who are under authority, but then it also points to those who are in authority. Those who are under authority are to submit to that authority, but also those who are in authority must use that authority rightly. And you find that as regards the beginning of chapter 6, that authority structure of parents and children. Yes, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee. And then immediately it follows, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do you see the two sides of the coin? Yes, honor those in authority. But also, you parents who are in authority, don't provoke your children to wrath by being overly harsh. And who of us as parents have not fallen for that, becoming excessively angry and harsh to our children? That provokes them to wrath. We punish our children too severely at times for mistakes or small sins. The punishment doesn't fit the crime. They spill their milk, and we fly off in a rage or some other small incident. Well, children have a sense of what's fair. They realize when the punishment doesn't fit the crime, and by being overly harsh, we are provoking our children to wrath. But God says and reminds us not to do that. Catch ourselves, and when we do, repent of that and even apologize. It's not wrong. We ought to apologize to our children when we do that. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them about the Lord. Teach them of their need of Jesus Christ. Teach them of their own depravity. Teach them about forgiveness. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's a warning that we as parents need to take heed. But that same thing applies to other authority structures. Ephesians does that with children and parents, but it also applies to wives and husbands. Verse 25 and following, after it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands." Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Having authority does not give the one with authority the license to be a tyrant, whether a father or parent or a husband or any other authority structure. And so you have the two sides of the coin. Instead of being a tyrant, God commands husbands to nourish and cherish their wives, just like Christ loves the church. And also masters. Another authority structure. Verse 5 of Ephesians 6 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." And then verse 9 follows that up. "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Forbear threatening. Don't use threatening as a master. Don't be harsh with your servants. Employers, don't be harsh with your employees, even though it may get things done, because we have a master in heaven who sees. The fifth commandment then forbids not only dishonoring the authority over us, but it also forbids the abuse of authority in society. And one reason for that is this. If we want to promote the honoring of authority, then we must not make it difficult for those under our authority to submit. Someone who abuses their authority, whether as a husband or a parent or some other government entity or in the church as well, if someone abuses their authority, that makes it very difficult for those who are under that authority to submit. That's the idea of the passage that we read. Parents, or fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, because that makes it difficult for them to submit, to honor their parents from the heart. When we abuse that authority, that doesn't excuse the sin of rebellion, to be sure, but it does make us guilty of tempting our children, making it difficult for them to submit. The same applies to husbands, another authority structure. If husbands treat their wives harshly, they might still say, well, my wife needs to submit. Well, okay, they're not excused from submitting, but it makes it very difficult. Or when employers threaten their employees, that does not give employees the license to rebel, does not give employees the license to go on strike and hurt their employer, but it does make it difficult when an employer is harsh with his employees. It makes it difficult for them to properly submit. Whatever authority structure, whoever is in authority, we must not abuse that authority, because that abuse can then become an occasion that causes others to be tempted. And therefore, the fifth commandment requires us to use our authority honorably. Use our authority not as tyrants, whatever position of authority that is, whether parents or government authorities, not as tyrants, but as servants of God. As servants of God who have to answer to God for the way that we use our authority. The Catechism brings out that even when that authority is wrongly used, nevertheless, there is a call to patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. There are always weaknesses and infirmities, but we are called to patiently bear with them, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. God placed them in authority over us. And God is governing us through them. And so rebellion against that authority is rebellion against God Himself. God promises in the way of honoring those in authority that there is blessing in that way. Ephesians 6 brings that out. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now you understand we can't earn any part of our salvation. We don't earn any of the blessings that God gives us. But there is that principle that keeps coming up over and over. In the way of showing that honor, God blesses. He causes us to experience the blessedness of the salvation He has already given to us. That's the idea of Ephesians when it speaks of that it may be well with thee, repeating the fifth commandment. Notice when it repeats that fifth commandment, it also says that thou mayest live long on the earth. But we ought to recognize living long on the earth, the land. When God gave the commandment, the land was a picture of heavenly blessings. So when it says that thou mayest live long on the earth, it's saying in this way, this is the way in which we experience those heavenly blessings. And that does indicate those who rightly honor, truly honor father and mother, they will experience heavenly blessings. Ultimately, God will take all of His people to glory, not because, but in the way of. And even in this life, God gives us a taste of heavenly blessings. And that blessedness is experienced in the way of showing that honor. Not because of anything we do. Not because we have honored that authority. Not because we have obeyed our parents. But because Christ has earned all those blessings for us. And if He has earned, and He has, if He has earned all those blessings, then He will give us all those blessings. He will apply salvation to us, that salvation He has earned. And where we have fallen short, and we all have, Christ has also earned forgiveness. He has covered over by His precious sacrifice all our shortcomings, all abuse of authority, all our rebellion against authority. Christ has covered all of that by His precious blood. That's why we experience the blessedness that our text speaks of. That's why that promise is annexed to the fifth commandment. May it be that God would give us the grace to honor authority, but also to use authority honorably. And may His name be praised in that way. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we fall short in all those things that Thou dost require of us. So we pray that Thou forgive us again and lead us and guide us by Thy Spirit. Grant to us that we may honor authorities over us and that we may use authority honorably for Thy name's sake. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.